Well, we know that our vision for this year is power and authority. But what is authority? The Webster's Dictionary says that it's the legal right to command obedience. Spiritual authority is delegated power. For example, on a busy street, you see the police stand in the middle of the street, puts his hand up, the cars stop. Well, they're supposed to, right? They stop. They don't have physical power in themselves to stop the car, but they don't use their strength to stop the traffic. They are strong in the authority that is invested in them by the government they serve. People recognize that authority mostly, and they stop. What is the source of our authority? Praise God. Praise God. Jesus has invested that authority in us, and it's found in Luke 10:19. Behold. The word behold means, listen, take note, I'm about to say something very important. Behold, I give you authority. Jesus is speaking now. He says, I give you authority to trample, and that word trample means trample with contempt. You don't tiptoe through the tulips here. You trample with contempt. Hallelujah. Over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. All the power of the enemy. Emphasize all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Another translation says, behold, I have given you authority. It's a done deal. Come on, let's take it. It's a done deal. It's already used. And in speaking about serpents and scorpions, Jesus is talking about the power of the devil and demon spirits. Serpents, they speak of evil spirits that attack the mind with fear, worry, anxiety. Serpents are symbols of temptation and deception. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden with Eve. Satan deceived her. Scorpions symbolize stinging words. Words spoken behind your back. Words that cause you to imagine the worst. It constantly plays on your mind. Several years ago, two ladies got together to pray. They spent many days, many months in prayer. And they wrote a letter to my senior pastor. They said, Pastor Phil, in our prayer time, God told us that Pastor Phil is a warlock. That's a male witch. And in the eldership, we sort of laughed it off. But you know, the next day, it was on my mind. The next week, it was on my mind. I'd go to church and I'd think, I wonder if, why did that person look at me like that for? Why did that person ignore me when I said hello? I wonder if they think the same thing. I wonder if the people are thinking the same thing about what these people had said. I wonder. After 3 weeks, I said to my wife, Glenys, let's pray a prayer of agreement and break these words over my mind. And so we prayed together a prayer of agreement and we broke those words over my mind. In Ezekiel 2 verse 6, it says, do not fear them or their words, son of man. Though you will dwell among thistles and briars of their hostility, though their reaction will make you think you're sitting on scorpions, ouch, do not be afraid. Pay no attention to their threats and don't let their glaring faces intimidate you. We need to realize, church, that we have authority. We have authority over these demon spirits. And the value of our authority rests in the power that's behind that authority. It's not our power, it's God's power. In the beginning, God gave Adam the mandate to rule and reign with authority. And that was blown. But in Christ it was restored, and Satan took that rulership through deception that was not his. And because of this, God declared war on Satan. You know, Satan thought he had Jesus when Jesus was put in the tomb. I guess he threw a party for his demon hordes. We got him. At last we got him. But it was through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that power, the Satan's power was stripped. He was stripped of all power and all authority. The Bible says that God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. What name is coming against you? You see, sickness has a name. Every sickness has a name. Every negative thought has a name. Every problem that you and I face has a name. And Jesus has been given a name that is above every name. And he has given us the privilege, come on, church, the privilege to use that name. In Mark 16, I have given you. He said, these signs shall follow those who believe in my name. He's given us the authority. In my name, you'll cast out demons. Here's another one. You'll speak in new tongues. Do you speak in new tongues? I do. It's given to those who believe. Are you a believer? Then this sign is for you. It's a gift given by God to you. Come on. Yeah. It's for us. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:20, God has seated Christ at his right hand, the place of authority. And we are seated with him. And in Ephesians 2:5-6, I love this verse. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you've been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. You don't sit together with Christ. It's only when we die and we go to heaven. It's while we're on earth. We're in Christ, seated at the right hand of the God. So here's a question for you. How are you this morning? Are you looking up or looking down? Come on, put out your hand if you're looking up. Depends where you're seated. I'm seated in heavenly places. I'm not looking up, I'm looking down. I'm seeing it from his viewpoint. I'm seeing that problem that's been attacking me from his viewpoint. What does the Bible say? We are seated at the right hand of the majesty on high, and all things have been put under our feet. And if it's under his feet, it's under our feet. And I believe, church, this is the key to unlock all prayer warfare. Don't ever pray without knowing where you are seated. This unlocks the amazing authority that we have in Christ, knowing where we are seated. We died with Christ, raised with Christ, and seated with Christ at the place of authority in heavenly places. And spiritual authority is not fighting for a place of victory. It's fighting from. Victory's already ours. But God wants people to start to enforce it. He wants us to enforce the victory because the enemy is a trespasser on God's property. You are God's property. Your children are God's property. And the enemy loves to encroach on God's property. And you and I have been given authority to enforce the victory that's already ours. In Jesus' name. No wonder Paul prayed that they may have the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge. No wonder he prayed that the eyes of their understanding to be enlightened, that they might know in reality. See, if you've got the high ground, you can command. And in Jesus Christ, church, we have the high ground. God has given us a position to exercise our authority and to dominate the enemy. It's time we rose up and exercise our God-given authority. We no longer live under Satan's rule. We've been relocated in the kingdom of Christ. Although physically we're on planet Earth, spiritually we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. The authority is ours. And God wants us to rule and reign. That's why Jesus said the kingdom of God is in you. How many know the enemy loves to bring doubts to us? He loves to bring, Pastor Phil, I don't feel like I'm there. Oh, you don't know my situation, Pastor Phil. You don't know my condition. I don't feel as if I'm seated in the heavenly places. God never invited you how to feel. He never said to you, Trent, how do you feel about this? He never. He never said that. It's a fact. It's a fact. That's where I am. And when I believe the truth of his word and speak the truth of his word in faith, the devil knows it. He backtracks because he knows that I'm moving in faith. Who's heard of Campbell McAlpine? He's a Scotsman. He spent many a year in New Zealand. Don't know why, but he did. And he was flying back to England and flying over the Himalayas. And the people in the plane were really excited when the captain said, if you look to the left side of your plane, at the window, you will actually see the glimpse of the summit of Mount Everest. And normally you couldn't see it because it's always cloud covered and so on. And they saw the amazing, magnificent summit of Mount Everest. So he goes back to his seat, he chuckles to himself and he thinks about the men and women that have spent hours and hours and hours building up their strength for this task of climbing this mountain, spending lots of money. And here he is in the comfort of the plane, seeing that this magnificent view, and it cost him nothing. But that's how it is for us. We have the privilege of seeing every situation, every problem from God's viewpoint. How are you looking this morning? Up or down? I'm seeing it from God's viewpoint. See, what the devil does is to try and make you and I feel that the situation is too big, the mountain's too high, the giant's too strong. But now looking from God's viewpoint, it's time for your breakthrough, for my breakthrough. 2026 is the breakthrough time for Gateway Church people. Yeah. Amen? In 2 Samuel 23, we read the story of two ordinary men who exercised their God-given authority. In verse 9 to 10, it says, Eliezer, the son of Dodo, sorry about his dad. Dodo is an extinct bird. I don't know if he was extinct, but that's what it means. Dodo, the son of Dodo, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines who were gathered there for battle, and the men of Israel had retreated, he arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand stuck to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned. Listen to this. The people returned after him just to plunder. They didn't want to fight the battle, but they want the goods. The Philistine army had gathered for battle. The men of Israel retreated. Eliezer, on his own, stood his ground and defeated the Philistines. I want you to notice this, though. The Bible says his hand froze to the sword. When the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, becomes one with you, no weapon formed against you will prosper. No weapon. And every tongue that comes against you in judgment, you have the right and the power and the privilege and the authority to condemn. No weapon formed against you. No weapon formed against you. The enemy wants you to shift ground, to give up the ground that God says is yours. And that means holding your ground. It means hold to the promises that God has given you. We have to stand on what God says is mine and hold on to the promise. And that's what it means to stand my ground and resist the enemy. God is wanting to raise up in this church militant people with a militant spirit against the enemy. Not against each other, not against people, but against the enemy. The second man was Shammah, the son of Agee. In verse 11 and 12, the Philistines had gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. So the people fled from the Philistines, but he stationed himself in the middle of the field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. Goodness sake, it wasn't a gold mine. It was lentils, beans. Would you fight for a patch of beans? The rest of the soldiers ran off and left him on his own. But Shammah positioned himself in the middle of the field, defended it, and defeated the enemy. And the Bible says the Lord brought about a great victory, victory to a man who stood his ground. You know, God will give us great victory if we stand our ground. Don't give up. Has Satan tried to cause you to shift ground? To waver at the promises that God says is yours? To cause you to doubt? Cause you to fear? Cause you to give up? He tries to get you to wear yourself down. Let's make this year a year of standing our ground for ourselves, for our families, and for our church. So how do we exercise godly authority? We can talk about it until Jesus comes, but how do we do it? I like the how. How do we stand our ground? How do we exercise authority? 5 points from the story of the centurion that is very clear. In Matthew 8, verses 5 to 10, it says, "Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented.' And Jesus said to him, 'I will come and heal him.'" See the response from Jesus? Immediate, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, 'Go,' and he goes, and this one to another, 'Come,' and he comes. And to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Surely I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. First principle, verse 9. "For I too am a man under authority." Right authority comes when we under authority. Under submission to that authority. Then and only then can we qualify to exercise authority. You see, an independent person, independent spirit, can be very much open to deception. You ready for a song? "I did it my way." No, you didn't do it my way. I did it the devil's way. Independent spirit. No one tells me what to do. Listen to what Jesus said in John 14, verse 10. "Do not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father in me. The words that I speak to you..." What's the next line? "I do not speak on my own authority." Even Jesus. Jesus. "I don't speak on my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me does the works." Apostle Paul said it like this in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12 to 13. "And we urge you, brethren," sisters as well, "to recognize those who labor among you and who are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves." To exercise authority, I need to come under authority. Under authority. submit to the authority that is above me. Second principle in verse 8, humility. The centurion said, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy for you to come. In spite of his position, he's a centurion, controlling up to 100 men. And yet, he remained humble. Humility is crucial for exercising delegated authority under the lordship of Jesus Christ. I call it the dependency factor. John 15. You're the vine, Jesus. I'm the branch. Apart from you, I'm nothing. But with you, I'm a mighty force to be reckoned with. I can't do it in my own strength. I can't do it in my own strength. But I can do it in your name. So I humble myself under the mighty hand of God. Third principle, verse 8, the centurion said, just say the word. Just say the word. We find that authority involves speaking the word in faith. The Apostle Paul, in Acts 16, he was confronted by this young girl filled with a python spirit. The spirit of a python controlled her. Everywhere he went, this spirit would say, these men are the men of the Most High. They'll tell you the way of salvation. Who was the way of salvation to her if she was under the control of the demonic spirit? And she did it day after day to the point where Paul got so annoyed with her, absolutely annoyed with her, that he just said, in the name of Jesus Christ, get out of her. Come out of her. I command you. He didn't say, excuse me, young girl. Apologies for interrupting your little speech there. But no, he said, I command you. He wasn't speaking to the girl. He was speaking to the demon that was in her. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. What does it mean to be in the name of Jesus? It's very interesting. Very interesting. I want you to take hold of this. To be in the name of Jesus, to be in the life of and living it. I can't say in the name of Jesus. The sons of Sceva tried to do it in the book of Acts. And nothing happens. In fact, the demons jumped on them. If I'm living that life, my life must portray the very life of Jesus. And by God's grace, we do. In the name of Jesus means in the life of and living it, living his life. And Paul, he just spoke the word. He just spoke the word. He didn't waver. He didn't question. He just spoke the word. Isaiah 55 verse 11 says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it'll accomplish what I please and for the thing I sent it. His word always accomplishes his purpose. It shall prosper. It'll succeed. It'll be victorious. And Holy Spirit wants us to take hold of this word and realize that he has given us all authority. Holy Spirit wants us to be bold and learn to just say the word. In the name of Jesus, I'm living the life by his grace. The fourth principle, the centurion was a faith person. You know, you've got to remember, it takes a lot to astound Jesus. Jesus said, he marveled and said, I say to you, I've not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Jesus was astounded by this man. He wasn't even a Jew. He wasn't even a covenant person. He didn't belong to the covenant of Israel. He was a non-Jew. And yet there was faith in this man to believe. Faith. And so faith has a definite role in authority. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I cannot please God unless I operate in faith. I cannot receive anything from God unless I receive in faith, believe in faith. You know, when I was seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit many years ago, I thought, God, I know your word. I know what your word says. It's mine. It's all mine. Come on. But there was no faith in my asking. But there came a day when I asked in faith, and I did receive the promise that he promised me. Faith has a definite role in authority. When circumstances don't change immediately, don't become discouraged. Don't become discouraged. Don't become discouraged. Don't give up. Don't waver. Oh, people don't know what I've gone through. I don't, but he does. The Bible says Abraham did not waver at the promises of God, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and was fully convinced that what God had promised, he would do. Had he become strong in faith? He gave glory to God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I thank you. I thank you, Father. First year, the promise didn't come to pass. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Yes, pray. Look, I look at the stars. I see my children up there. Yes. Down there, there's my children in the ground. Yeah, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. 10th year, promise didn't come to pass. Thank you, Father. Praise you, God. The promises. Thank you for your promise, God. I give you glory, give you honor, praise you, glorify your name. You're faithful to your word. Thank you, Father. 15th year, nothing happened. 20th year, and he's still nothing happened, but he's still giving glory to God. Come on, church. Still giving glory to God. 24th year, if he stopped at the 24th year, he would not have received his promise. But the 25th year, his promise came to pass. He had a son, and he called him Laughter. Isaac. Come on. How long have you been waiting for your promise? I've got promise I'm still waiting for. And this is a challenge to me. I give glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. I give you glory. The promises that you said concerning what you wanted to do in my life. God, can't you see I'm getting old? I said, he said, no, you're not old. You're spring chicken. And I thought, well, thank you, Lord. My wife never said that. Hallelujah. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, great evangelist, is with the Lord now. He said, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm only moved by what I believe. What do you believe? Only moved by what I believe. Can we say that? Of course we can. I'm only believed by God's faith, grace. I'm only moved by what I believe. The fifth principle, authority must ideally be linked with love. Here's this centurion. He's got his servant. He's a soldier. He's a centurion. Get rid of him. Give me another servant. But the Bible says he loved him. He loved this man. He loved this servant. In John 13, verse 13 to 14, Jesus said, you call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. We find it was the Lord, the authority figure, expressing love in service, washing his disciples' feet. John 13, verse 35, by this all would know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. How are the world going to know that we're disciples of Jesus? By us showing love to one another. So authority and love are united there in that very statement. John 13, 14, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. If you're ever going to exercise authority, Jesus was virtually saying to disciples, you must have love for one another. 1 John 3, 16 says, by this we all know love because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That brings the whole submission to one another in focus. So let me close with this. Number one, to exercise biblical authority, I need to know where I'm seated. not just know, but operate from that place, that position of strength. I need to stand my ground and not waver, not give up. I need to be submitted to God and his delegated authority in the church. Don't do it outside the church. Thanks, Muso singers. Speak the word in faith. Don't just say the word, speak it in faith. In the name of Jesus, speak it in faith. And let love be the motivating factor in exercising your authority. That's how you and I exercise spiritual authority. There's foundational truths first before I exercise spiritual authority. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you for your word. The entrance of your word gives light. I pray, Father God, your word will give light to people this morning, understanding this morning. Let faith arise in your people that this year will be a year not just talking about power and authority, but knowing how to exercise that authority that we've been given by you, Jesus. You gave us this. And I pray, Father God, each one of us will learn to exercise with power, with faith, knowing who we are, knowing where we're seated, knowing that we can speak in faith, not to shift ground, not to waver at your promises, but stand firm and true and see, Father God, that salvation belongs to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Just while every head is bowed, every eye closed, if you can just close your eyes for a moment. You know, there may be some here that I want to know what you're talking about. I want to know this person you've been talking about, Jesus. I've heard about him. I've read about him. Friends have told me about him. But personally, I have not invited him into my life. I've never asked him to come to be Lord of my life. But today I want to. Maybe you've done it in the past, but you know today you're not walking as close as you used to, but you want to today. This is your day. You know, you give me the privilege of praying for you. The church is going to pray with us as well. The prayer is simply receiving Jesus into your life. He'll forgive you of all your sins. If you speak from your heart, he'll forgive you of all your sins. He'll come into your heart and he will guide you and direct you. And you'll experience the peace that passes all our understanding. You've been looking for peace. It's only found in one person, and that's Jesus. Let's all pray this prayer then. Please, if you do it for the first time, or if you haven't done it before, and if you've done it before, but you feel that you need to do it again, please, I encourage you to do that. Let's pray this together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you sent your Son Jesus to die on the cross for me. He was buried. And he rose again the third day. Please forgive me of all my sins. Cleanse me from my past. Give me a brand new start. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. And I believe in my heart that God, you raised him from the dead. I invite you, Jesus, into my life. From now on, help me to live my life for you. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.